Over the last several Sunday nights, we've been looking together at the Beatitudes. And tonight, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Matthew 5 and verse number 6, where the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Let's ask the Lord's help tonight as we look at this passage together. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us, undeserved grace and mercy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us in earning for us our salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. We give you thanks that you have called us to become your children and that you have implanted your spirit in our hearts. You've given us life. You've given us new birth. You've given us a desire to walk in newness of life and to walk in faith in obedience to your commands. And God, what we're reading about and thinking about tonight is the hunger and the thirst for righteousness that should characterize all of us as your children. So God, increase that desire within us. Increase our hunger, our thirst for the things of you, and to live for you, and to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, bless this time of study and of preaching, and we pray that it would be encouraging and challenging to us, and that it would be honoring to you. Lord, may your Spirit do his work through his word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this verse tonight, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." As we think about hunger and thirst, I think we can all identify with that. We can all identify in a physical sense with what it means to be hungry, or at least we think we can. We think we can identify with hunger and thirst, but how long has it been since any of you went more than a day without food? How long has it been since any of you went a week without food? Have you ever gone 40 days and 40 nights without food, as Jesus did in the wilderness? I think sometimes we think that we know what hunger is when we missed breakfast that morning, and we're looking forward to lunch that day, and we're super hungry because we missed that one meal of the day. But the interesting thing about this word that Jesus uses, that Matthew records for us here in this passage, this word for hungry was a word that was usually reserved for utmost deprivation and borderline starvation. Often this word was used of people that were completely without food because of famine, because of a siege by an enemy on their city where they had cut off all the food supply, all the supplies from their city. Maybe a very devastating storm, a hailstorm, maybe wiped out a crop. That's the idea. Someone who is going through a devastating time of poverty, of famine, of warfare, in which food is incredibly scarce. You can read through the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, and read stories about different times in the history of Israel where the people of God experienced physically times like that, where they were without food because of troubles, difficulties that were going on. You can read in the book of Joel, where because of their disobedience, God sent a locust plague on them and completely wiped out their crops. And they're crying out to God for help. Probably one of the darkest stories in the entire Bible is found in 2 Kings, where we read about a severe famine because of a siege around the land of Samaria by the Assyrians. And we read about in 2 Kings how two mothers decided to cannibalize their own children in order to survive. It's a dark story. We're talking about utter deprivation and hunger here. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst," but not in a physical sense. Not for physical food, but for those who are completely and utterly starving in their souls for the things of God. for God and His righteousness, for His kingdom. And I think sometimes in our modern American culture, we don't really understand what it means to hunger or to thirst like this. We've never gone that long without food. We've never gone that long without water, lost in a desert somewhere, just needing a drop of water to survive. And Jesus says that we, as His people, should be characterized by a kind of spiritual hunger that desires with every amount of energy and intensity that we have the things of God. It's really an insatiable hunger. It's a hunger, a thirst that does not rest until it is filled. It searches, it seeks, it desires to be filled. And also the way that this language is used here, it's in the present tense, which suggests the idea of something that is continual, something that is repetitive. In other words, a constant hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In other words, the disciple of Jesus never arrives in this life in terms of being fully satisfied with the righteousness of God. We're always seeking it. We're always desiring it. And to some extent, we're being filled and satisfied with His righteousness now in this life, but really the ultimate fulfillment of it is in the future kingdom of God. And so until then, we're seeking it constantly. It's a perpetual hunger that is not content with a one-time filling, but remains hungry and thirsty for the things of God. And I think what we need to see here too is that this is a hunger and a thirst that can only be satisfied by God. This is a hunger and a thirst that can only be satisfied by God. Do you remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by the devil during that time of 40 days and 40 nights of fasting without food? And the devil came to him. And do you remember in one of the temptations, the devil offered him food. He offered him bread. And what did Jesus say in response? He quoted from the scriptures. He quoted from Deuteronomy. And he said, man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the kind of hunger that Jesus is teaching to His disciples here, is a hunger for the things of God that can even overpower the temptation to satisfy our physical hunger after 40 days without food. A hunger that can be satisfied only fully in God alone. That's the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus is talking about here. As I was thinking about this verse, I couldn't help think about the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, where the Samaritan woman comes to the well and she's there to draw water, and Jesus engages her in conversation, and Jesus asks her, would you like to have the water that will truly satisfy your soul for all of eternity? And she says, where can I get this water? I want that. Give me some of that water. And what does Jesus say? If you knew who you were talking to, then you would ask Him, and He would give you this living water. Why? Because Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the one, through His grace and mercy, can truly satisfy our souls. And so this is a hunger and a thirst that can only be satisfied in God. And so God is the ultimate goal. As the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 1, as a deer pants for brooks of water, maybe a deer that is trying to escape the hunter, running for its life, and comes to a stream of water, and that deer licks up that water, and it's life-giving. It's satisfying. The psalmist says, so my soul longs for You, O God. God is the ultimate desire of our hearts, or He ought to be the supreme treasure of our lives. And Jesus says here, that's how we should hunger and that's how we should thirst. But then He says, what are we thirsting for? What are we hungering for? Yes, it is God, but specifically He says here, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Righteousness. What does Jesus mean here by righteousness? There have been several suggestions. I just want to give you a few of these different options that different commentators have suggested. One view of it is that this is talking about righteousness in the sense of justice, in the sense of God making things right in the world. You know, we look around us and we see all of the trouble and the chaos and hatred and warfare and injustice that's taking place in our world. And one view of this is that those who desire for God's kingdom to come and for his righteousness to fill the earth and for all of that injustice to be done with, to be put aside and forever removed in the righteous kingdom of God. And there's something to be said for that view because of that Jesus is talking about in this passage, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But usually in Matthew, that's not the way that righteousness is used. One other view of this is that the righteousness here is talking about the righteousness of justification. In other words, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the imputed righteousness that comes from God by faith that justifies us and puts us in a right standing before God. That's one view of righteousness here as well, is that the righteousness that we're seeking is the righteousness of standing, the righteousness of God that he grants to us by grace through faith that justifies us in his presence and forgives us of our sins. And that there's a lot to be said for that as well. But again, that's not normally how Matthew speaks of the word righteousness. In fact, in this Sermon on the Mount, we see several uses of the word righteousness. And virtually in every instance, righteousness means right living. It means holy behavior. And so I think what Jesus means here is a personal righteousness, what I might call the righteousness of sanctification, the righteousness of seeking to live a holy life in conformity to God's standards of righteousness and holiness. In other words, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who seek to live in accordance with the righteousness of the kingdom of God. Those who seek to live in conformity with the commands of God and of Christ. With those who seek to live an ethical, moral life in obedience to God. Blessed are those. And so it is a hungering, a thirsting for you in your life to become holy like God, after the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a desire to do what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 48, when he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, it's a desire, it is a hungering, it is a thirsting for the righteousness that is God's, but mirrored, reflected in our own lives, that we would seek to live for God. It's a desire to live out our faith in a manner that accords with righteousness. It's a desire to be holy. It's a desire to live out the ethics of the kingdom of God as Jesus describes in the Sermon on the Mount. The thing that we need to think about, though, as we think more about this, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But then he says, for they will be filled. The interesting thing about the way that Jesus says that is he expresses it in a passive sense. They will be filled. Not they will fill themselves, but they will be filled. It's a passive. In other words, someone else is doing the filling. Who is that? It's God. This is what some scholars and grammarians call a divine passive. In other words, when you come across a passive in the scriptures and you're wondering, okay, if this is passive and I'm not doing it, who's doing it? It's God. God is doing it. This is his work in our lives. And so ultimately we are seeking and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're desiring to live holy lives. We're desiring to do, as Peter says, be holy as God is holy. We're desiring that and hungering for that. But ultimately, that is a work of God in our lives, isn't it? That is a work of God in our lives. It points to the fact that we cannot, of our own effort, fill ourselves. We cannot, of our own attainments, fill ourselves with righteousness. God must fill us with righteousness by His grace. Here's what one commentator said. I want to read, it's a few sentences, but I want to read to you what he says about this because I thought it was very, very good. He says, "The righteousness the Sermon on the Mount demands is a divine gift graciously wrought in the heart and life of the Christian disciple by God Himself. A tiny infant can hunger and thirst, but that infant is utterly incapable of satisfying those longings alone. Similarly, a believer can never satisfy his hunger or quench his thirst for righteousness. Only a gracious God who transforms mind, heart, character, and behavior can do so. The lifestyle described by the Sermon on the Mount is not the product of mere human effort. It is the result of transforming grace." And so Jesus says here, we need to be seeking, hungering after righteousness, but ultimately our transformation from an enemy of God into a friend of God who is seeking to live in conformity with God's standards, that is a gift of grace. That is a work of God's Spirit in our hearts. And so this filling with righteousness is a divine gift, and it is a perpetual filling growth in the here and the now in this life. And that's what I usually refer to as sanctification or progressive sanctification. I call it progressive because throughout this life, as we're living for God as Christians, we never fully arrive, do we? Paul, even in Philippians 3, one of the greatest apostles and servants of the Lord that we could probably think about, Paul says in Philippians 3, "I have not yet attained, not arrived yet. I keep pressing toward the goal, keep reaching forward." And so we never fully arrive at a completely full state of righteousness in this life. In other words, we will never be perfect in this life. We hunger for it, we thirst for it, we desire to be like Christ, but we'll never fully arrive in this life. It's a perpetual progressive filling of sanctification by God's grace. But one day there is coming a time, isn't there, when every child of God will be glorified. Every child of God. And so the chain of redemption, the chain of salvation in Romans chapter 8 says that we are chosen by God, we are called by God, we are justified by God, by God's grace through faith, and then ultimately one day we are glorified in heaven. And when we are glorified in heaven, that process of sanctification reaches its goal. And we are then perfected in the image and the character of Christ, never more to sin. And I think that is the ultimate final fulfillment of this beatitude when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." There will be a progressive filling in your life of righteousness now, but the ultimate final filling of righteousness in your life will be when you stand before Christ at the last day. And He welcomes you into the eternal, joyful kingdom. And so one day we will stand with Christ and we will be glorified, fully filled with righteousness. I want to say one more thing about this verse. And I think this is probably our biggest problem in living this verse out on a daily basis in our lives as Christians. And as I thought about this, I thought about, you know, what is our biggest problem? What is it that keeps us from having this mindset, this insatiable hunger, this incredible thirst, this desire for God, for His kingdom, for His righteousness? What is it that gets in the way? Well, I thought about Matthew 6. A little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, Jesus basically sets up people who are worrying about the things of this life. He talks about people who are worrying about their food, they're worrying about their clothing, they're worried about their shelter. And what does he say to them? He says, don't you know that your Father cares for you? He dresses the lilies of the field. He feeds the birds of the air. Don't worry about these things. And he says, but seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. That's exactly what he says here. Seek his righteousness and then what? All these other things like food and clothing and shelter, all these other things that you need physically in this life, God knows that you need those things. He'll take care of those things. But the center desire of your life needs to be God's kingdom and his righteousness. And in Matthew 6, I think there's a little bit of a hint there of what gets in the way of this hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I think it is the things of this world. It's the things of this world. It's the things that we think about in the here and now. And for many of us, the things that we think about, the things that consume our thoughts, the things that consume our time, and the things that consume our money are not necessarily just the basic necessities of life like the people in Matthew 6 were worried about. Most of us in this room are pretty comfortable in terms of knowing where our next meal is going to come from. We have a home to go to tonight to sleep in. We have a closet full of clothes. Most of us are not worried about food and clothing and shelter. But we have all kinds of other concerns in this world, don't we? We have all kinds of other things to think about and spend our time and our money on that keeps us from thinking about and desiring God's righteousness. And so I call this our number one enemy in the hunger and the thirst for righteousness is our hunger and our thirst for junk food. It's our hunger and our thirst for junk food. We have in us, I believe, every single one of us as human beings, we have a desire to make our lives have significance, to make our lives have meaning. We look for things that will satisfy us, that will bring us joy and happiness. We look for an ultimate significance for our lives. But for most of us as human beings, we don't look for that ultimate joy, that ultimate significance in God. Instead, we look for it in the junk food of this world. And so, just to use an analogy here, we're offered the quick and easy fast food and the prepackaged Cheetos of this world's pleasures. And we're deluded into thinking that we are filled only to realize that we are malnourished, fat, and disease-ridden by the corruption of this world. America is becoming a nation that is becoming fatter and fatter all the time. Right? You've heard the stories. You've seen the statistics. More and more of us are becoming increasingly obese, physically speaking. Why is that? Why are we as a nation becoming fatter, unhealthier physically? It's because we're not exercising, right? Most of us, we're not exercising. We're not working with our hands. We're not sweating in our labor as people of older generations did. And secondly, the things that we're eating are killing us. And so we're eating prepackaged foods and processed foods and McDonald's and bagged Cheetos. And these things are killing us. Why do we like those things? Because they taste good, right? They taste good. They taste good. And here's the problem with a lot of these foods. They give you an initial sense of joy, an initial sense of fulfillment. But what happens after you eat a whole pizza and drink a whole 2 liter of Mountain Dew? How are you going to feel? You're not going to feel very good, are you? And the thing is, by the time the next meal arrives, you want more, right? You want more. Why is it that a lot of people stop by McDonald's or Pizza Hut on the way home from work instead of taking the time and the preparation necessary to make a good, nutritious meal at home? Well, because McDonald's is easier and quicker, isn't it? But yet the problem is that we're ultimately hurting ourselves. Now, that was just an analogy. This sermon's really not about your diet, okay? That was just an analogy. So now take that analogy and move it into the spiritual realm. Why wait to have sexual relations in marriage with your spouse when you can go to the McDonald's of pornography? You follow what I'm saying here? Why wait, or when you can have sex before marriage or outside of marriage? Why wait and do things God's way when it's easier to do things the world's way? Why work on self-control over my temper, my anger, when it's easier just to speak my mind and blow up? Well, for the same reason that it's easier to stop by McDonald's instead of taking the time to fix a good meal for yourself at home. Which tastes better, Cheetos or broccoli? And so the problem is that the world is feeding us Cheetos, spiritually speaking. The world is feeding us Big Macs, spiritually speaking, and we're eating it up. And so because of that, we have no desire for the nutritious things of God. The world is crowding out the space that we have in our hearts for the desire for righteousness. And I think in order for us, if we're going to develop and nurture a hunger for righteousness, then we need to at the same time declare a fast from the junk food of the pleasures of this world. Because you can't love God's righteousness and the cravings of this world at the same time. One of those desires is going to be stronger. And so I think what Jesus is teaching us here is that disciples of Jesus who are living his way, citizens of his kingdom, they will never be satisfied with the junk food of this world's pleasures. Jesus' disciples, we're not going to be satisfied with the junk food of this world's pleasures. Instead, we, as Jesus' disciples, are going to be perpetually hungering and seeking to live a life of righteousness by the power of God's grace. And one day, that hunger will be fully and forever satisfied in the kingdom of God. And so, my exhortation to you tonight, and to me, is that we would not seek to fill ourselves with the quick, fast food of the pleasures of this world, but that we would seek to fill our souls with the righteousness of God. And one day, knowing that we will fully and forever be satisfied in the kingdom of Christ with his righteousness. And so let's be people of God who are hungering and thirsting for his righteousness, not the things of this world. Will you pray with me tonight? Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work of grace that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, to become citizens of your kingdom by your grace. Lord, you've called us to yourself. You've done a work in our hearts that we could not do. You've opened our eyes of faith to see your beauty and your glory, to see the truth of the gospel. And now, Lord, as those who have been born into your family by grace, those who have the indwelling Holy Spirit who is transforming us every day into the image of Christ, God, may we be characterized by this description of Jesus, that we would be those who hunger and thirst from the deepest part of our souls for your righteousness. And God, I pray that you would fill us. Fill us with your righteousness, that we may bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.